Everybody, welcome to the next live seminar. As some of you already possibly know, we're changing to two seminars a month, but we're just shortening them to about a half an hour seminar. So just because sometimes the view time for an hour is quite long, and yeah, just sort of have two over the month. So we're just trialing it. It's the first time for shorter seminar. But anyway, I've got quite a few questions come through, so I'm going to get into it fairly quickly. If I don't get through all the questions, then we'll just sort of keep adding the questions to the next seminar. And if it turns out we've got too many questions for the next seminar, we won't post, to add more questions to it. So anyway, it looks like a few people are coming up online now. So it looks like everything's working fine. So I'll get into it. So the first question we've got that's come up tonight is from Tracy. Now, Tracy, you're going to do a four-day clinic with me soon, and you've got a standard bred mare. She's very confident in the herd. She's a herd leader, but when you take her away from the herd and you're riding that on her own, she's an entirely different horse. She gets in such a panic. She spooks at her own shadow. She starts to, pace instead of canter and things like that. So she basically gets in a fluster. So she's very comfortable in the herd, and that's her comfortable environment. When you take her away, she gets really out there. So such a common thing. I've done seminars on separation anxiety, and I've sort of talked about that a lot. And when I'm doing clinics, I get a lot of horses come through to clinics that ex-race horses, if she's a standard bred that's been raced, most commonly what happens with those horses is they live a life around people where they're not really connected to people. They don't see people as helpful, and they're living their environment that they're comfortable in is with the herd, and being a obviously she paces, so she's been trained to pace and things like that. So so to have a herd and live in a herd is her comfortable environment. The environment in training when she was training to be a pacer can often be an environment that not necessarily is always a good environment for horses to feel comfortable in. So most ex-race horses, ex-pacers, things like that are quite disconnected with people. So they don't see people as helpful and as a safe place to be. So oftentimes at clinics, I'm trying to even in the groundwork, just getting people to get their horses to connect with them in a way that the horse actually reaches out to them and says, can you help me? Okay, so Tracy, the first thing I've got to say is have you got that? Have you got a connection where the horse actually goes, can you help me? I might need you. Or is she one of those horses that just looks right through you, or she's shut down or something like that when you're around her? So so something I'd recommend doing before even you sort of assess the riding side of it is just, standing with her for a while, not touching and not doing anything with her, just standing with her and just seeing and just waiting. Wait. There's lots of ways I can sort of, introduce a little bit of anxiety or create a horse, create an environment where a horse can search and start to search for you and connect. But without me sort of going into all the detail about how to do that, maybe just stand with her and just see what she's like. If she just stands there for hours, just with ears just like, then she's just disassociating with you, and she's not really connected. And so you take her out, she's not going to look for you for help. So then, like, if she starts to just sort of relax with you and just go, and sniff out for you and just start to communicate with you, then that maybe there's a horse in there that likes to communicate. Now that all doesn't, sounds like, well, what's that going to do when you ride out? But first thing you need is a horse that actually sort of feels like it can connect and talk to you. And then once it can do that, then maybe the thing it needs after that is a place to feel safe when it gets a bit anxious. So what I mean by that is you can have a really nice relationship with your horse, you can pat it, you can do lots of things with it, but and it might really like you in those certain situations, but when the wheels fall off, I mean, you know, everything's going on and the horse is anxious, maybe we're not enough to make them feel like we're there to look over them. So we might get a bit fractured, we might move around a bit, we might be a bit nervous and tighten up and things like that. And then we lose our centre, we lose our strength of centre, and then our horses start to fracture more. So if that's happening on the ground, then under saddle, it's even harder to find. So something I sort of think about is just standing very solid like a tree around her and just being there. And you could even get someone else to sort of create a bit of anxiety or, you know, pop a flag around her at the outside and just get her to, you know, she'll move around a bit, she'll look, she'll get anxious, she'll look for the herd. But you stand there long enough and she'll come back and she'll reach out for you. And that's something I sort of try and encourage people to try and do, to see if their horses will connect with them and find them and say, hey, I need you, can you help me? And once they've actually done that once, they'll do it more, and that window of opportunity will open up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then in the riding side of it, don't go away from the herd too often, you know, don't go miles away and then let the wheels fall off too often, because what happens is she gets used to that. She knows every time she goes out with you, the wheels fall off, she gets anxious, wants to be out with the herd. So basically she's anticipating the wheels falling off. So maybe show her that you can take her out and the wheels won't fall off. So what that means is maybe just take her away on a little ride away from the herd and in an environment where she feels safe, not even like a trail ride, for instance, in the arena or something like that, maybe ride her and if she gets a slight bit anxious or starts to separate from you and drift off and start to feel like she's zoning out somewhere else, you might just take a turn on her, like a tight turn or a back up or something that resets her thoughts. And when those thoughts reset, if you feel it just reset, you just might stop her and say, here I am. And you just sort of go, you just relax and you just sit with her. And she'll just relax a bit and go, oh, I'm not so lost anymore. And instead of letting the, you know, her get really lost, you only start to ride around a little bit till you feel her leave. And everyone in the first 2 seconds can feel if the horse mentally leaves them. And generally, because they let the ride go for too long with the horse already leaving them in the first 2 seconds, then it really gets bad. But maybe just I can't cope with this, then you just take a rein, you turn her, you might just stop her, whatever you do, but just bring her back and see if she's actually brought her thoughts back and connected with you. If she has, you just relax and say, here I am. And if you go to walk off again, just to see if she actually stays with you or she mentally departs you. And you'll probably find that she's probably not with you in the early stages before it gets really bad. So there's lots of ways, and in separation anxiety talk that I did, quite a while ago, I talked about techniques to take them out, if you leave the yards, for instance, you ride out maybe 10 metres and take her back to the gate where she sort of feels safe, and then just let her settle there and then just ride out again and bring her back to the gate and show her that you're not going to take her away forever. You're not going to take her away forever. But what you're also doing, you can't just rely on that, because if you just rely on that, then maybe you're not looking at the times that she connects with you and say, here's an island with me. So first of all, you at the place where she feels safe might be the first island, but as long as she's acknowledged that you took her to the gate, you're the one that makes her feel good. So then all of a sudden you might sort of, she gets a bit distracted, a bit unsettled, then you might turn her, and if you feel her come back, you just say, here I am, and you stop over here and you just settle with her and just show her that she can come and underneath you, let down a little bit and relax with you and say, oh yeah, no, I'm connected with you. And all you're really doing is distracting her from what she was thinking about, bringing her thoughts back, when they're with you, she's got a you've got a moment of opportunity to say, "Hey, here I am." Okay. It's hard for me to explain without sort of, you know, looking at your horse and going, "Hey, you know, look at these little things." But acknowledge your horse and where she is more often, and you'll probably find that you won't go for big trail rides for a while. You'll just start to get her to sort of reconnect with you, and then take her out a little bit further. Now, if she's a really slow horse, then you're going to have troubles, as in, not a slow horse, more of a shut down one in the yards. If you don't see anything, or it feels like she's really just introverted and difficult, then she's going to blow up when you go so far away. So then what you do is just take her away a little bit till she gets a bit unsettled, and then just take her back and say, "Here's a spot to settle." You might take her back towards where she wants to be a bit, and then just take her out again, and keep doing that. So yeah, until the clinic, I just start to keep her in a sort of closer environment, and know when she leaves you, reset her and say, "Here I am," and acknowledge that, and you'll find that that'll make a big difference. I've seen some big changes in horses just because people actually acknowledged. Just the last thing, lady had a horse that she said, "My horse is always out ahead of, you know, it's heavy in that." And I said, "Well," and we fixed that horse, not by getting it till it was going fast and then, you know, cooling it down to come back. We just said, "When we leave, can we leave together?" And if the horse didn't leave with her on the first step, then we just said, "Stop, let's try that again." And then after a few goes, the horse just walked off on a loose rein and just relaxed, because it didn't know it had to be connected when it walked off. So, you know, things like that really make a big difference. So I'd look into things like that. And then, yeah, when I see you at the clinic, I think I can try and help you with a bit more how your horse is. Megan, Milo. I was just reading your question about Milo still having trouble with a bridle. And now, I started Milo for Megan, so it's all my fault. But Milo's a lovely little horse, very quiet, very, very pleasant horse to be around. But also he's got a quiet sort of complacency about him that he can get a little bit, you know, a bit like that. And that sort of, and because he's like that, he can tend to start to sort of be a little bit, what's the bridle on? Oh, what's that? So what I want you to, first of all, Megan, you saw me at the clinic one day in Canberra where you were having trouble bridling, and as an experiment, I walked up and I popped the flag quickly, and then I put the bridle on. And basically what happened there was he went, "Oh, okay. I was thinking about something else. I was over there and you were trying to bridle me, and I was all wriggly." But when I came in and did that, I got his focus again, and he sort of went, "Okay. Oh, that's right. I'll take the bridle." And so we were sort of trying to assess if it was just head shyness or uncomfortableness with the bridle, or just him being elsewhere with his thoughts. And in that case at the clinic, he was just elsewhere. But obviously, he gets a little bit like, "Oh, well, here comes the bridle. That's right. I'll, you know," and he's starting to get in a little bit of habit of that with you. So when you say in the questionnaire, say maybe an online video, we'd be better. That would be good if you could put an online video on, and I can sort of assess it and then put it on and talk over it to sort of, you know, talk you through some things. But just quickly at the seminar here, I'd like to say that with you or not before you put the bridle on, okay? And you've got enough tools in your toolbox to know, and enough working with him to know that if he's actually present with you and he's not sort of somewhere else in his mind. And then I'd probably keep the halter on him for the first, until you get a good go of it again. I'd just teach him some exercises just to sort of, you know, stay with the feel. So you know, if you go to rub him over the head and he does that, you can just draw him back and just say, "Here, reset. Recenter," and then you loosen up and rub him again, and just get him good so you can hand him all over again, you know, while the holder's on him, and rub his muzzle and put your fingers in his mouth and things like that. But more so keeping him mentally with you and not elsewhere with his thoughts. He just tosses his head to shake it away, yeah. So don't worry about the bridle for a while. Just get him present, rub them all over, relax, do this, do that. I won't even go into the details of how you sort of put a bridle on the young horse or anything like that, because I have a feeling that if you just work on, I'm not going to bridle you, I just want you there and I can sort of do everything with you. And if he goes to go away, you can take the hold and reset him and then go back to handling him, and then handle him with a bridle in your hand, doesn't, you know, all that sort of thing, and just work on the reset button. And also, I will say this for everybody, you know, it's not necessarily directed at you, Megan, it's directed at everybody who bridles a horse. We have to get our act together when we bridle horses, because there's a question further down, which I'm hoping to get to. If we bridle a horse and we clang it on the teeth too often, we make it a bit of a sort of a palaver, after a while they think, well, this is a bit of an ordeal, this. And yes, it's important, there's a certain level of obedience in our horses, but there's also a requirement for us to be fairly efficient in what we do. So especially when it comes to bridling and young horses, if you can get them settled and centered, put the bridle on and don't make a big deal of it. And also, if there's teeth issues or things that where they've clanged before and they go, I don't really like that, we've got to be efficient in the way we start to learn to handle the bit and put it in their mouth, so we can sort of put, you know, whether you use your finger here, open their mouth, they can just gently slide it in and you get it in one clean go. They get it in, they're comfortable with it, and you just go on about your business. And that's very important as well, because the more we sometimes fiddle and where we're not efficient in getting it in, then we lose that moment of when the horse is actually, you know, okay, well, I'm here, what do you want me to accept? And getting clanged on the teeth and sort of, you know, this business for too long will get a horse a bit disinterested in taking the bit. So that in the other side is important for everyone when we're bidding horses. But for you, Megan, I think getting him present and just working him in a hold, getting him to lower his head, getting him to flex to you, flex the other way, and you know, if you start to rub his muzzle in and he pulls away a little bit, you just take your hand off his muzzle, you just draw him back, just let him relax again, go again. But after a while, what you do is you might just keep your hand near his muzzle as he pulls away, draw him back, and then just rub him a little bit, and then when he relaxes in there, just take your hand away and say, here's a good spot here, find a nice spot in there where he can just relax. It's in that spot where you're bridling. But just get him to a stage that he's very, very well handled again over the head. And yeah, maybe have a halter on when you do it for the first, you know, 5 or 10 times again, just to show him that you've got a little bit of control to sort of help him get in the right spot and know where to be. But yeah, I think with Milo, he just gets a bit, yeah, I'm not here right now, and that annoys me a little bit, so I'm just going to sort of, you know, pull away, and that's where just that little bit of extra focal obedience will come into play. And then you've got another question there, Megan, about a new horse, you know, what to do to introduce, not a green horse, must be a bit of an older horse to a new home, handling groundwork, leading around the place. Oh, don't do what I do, which is just half the time, you know, put them in a generally horses come to new places and if there's a bit of company around, they'll figure out how to make friends and then get used to things. So quite quickly if they're pretty good with you, I just lead them around the place and just show them, you know, things, and you know, while they're following you around and stuff like that, instead of letting them run wild and run through fences if they like that. But you know, groundwork, handling and things like that, I can't really answer that question because I don't know really where the horse is at in its training, and if it's just getting it used to a new environment and building a connection, I'd probably just lead it around a new environment for a while, and like I said with the first question, it's just, you know, standing with your horse, just let it give it a bit of room, like on a longer rope or something like that, and just let it settle and let it connect with you a little bit, and then show it the new environment, walk it around places, walk around the paddock if you want that day, all those things help. And then when you want to put it with other horses, you can, put it with one horse, for instance, not maybe throw in a mob, but I'm not sure how many horses you've got, Megan, so I'm not sure if it's just Milo, I just put them together and give them, make sure they've got enough space to sort their differences out, not in the small yard where they can get hurt, but in a bigger paddock, and generally all sort of, I think we sometimes look into it too much, and just let them be with the other horses and in enough space to sort of settle in. Sorry, that's a bit of a vague answer, but with the exploring side, I just take them around with you, lead them around. I wouldn't do a lot of groundwork, as in just more so leading, follow me, follow my ideas, come with me, follow me around, check things out, and that's it. Karen, you've got Karen Hocking, you've got a good question. It's a difficult question. All these questions are a little bit difficult, actually. They're more so connection questions. But Karen, it's quite a long question. I'll shorten it so we've got a bit of an idea, the guts of the question, I suppose. With the question, you've been going well with Hayden, been taking him out, having good success on rides, and he's really settling in with you, which is really good. Now, what's happened is at an endurance ride, when he's been in the sort of small yard on his own, one of the rides has left. Get back to here. Yeah, so the 80K ride has left early in the morning, and they're cantering off in the darkness. So Hayden went pretty berserk in his yard and got to a stage that he was nearly trying to jump out and things like that. And you're trying to, first of all, everything you're doing with Hayden, you're on the right path. And if you've been sort of following the ideas of getting more connected, getting sort of relaxed with you and know that he's okay with you, that it's all going to help. And in the long run, like, I've had horses that, they float bad, they have separation anxiety when the other horses go away from their paddock, but all of a sudden, because one part of their environment has vastly improved, it flows on through all their other, the environment. So when the horse goes away with the people, they get more connected. That's still not happening with him, obviously, because he's getting really panicked in a small yard. And when all the riders leave, he's getting to a stage that he's just like rearing up, getting really upset. So all you can really do in the situation where it happens is manage him, which means I would tend to sort of step in the yard and put a holder on him, and I would draw his thoughts to me. And the thing is, if whatever happens out there is bigger than you just standing there and saying, "Here I am," don't sort of try and move his feet around to try and get him, thinking about other things and stuff like that. I would tend to just distract him big enough that you distract him. So basically when he gets really out there and animated and his adrenaline's right up, you've almost got to say, "Here I am," and just stand there. So the "here I am" side of it is so quick, it's like a branch breaking, and he goes, "Bang, what was that?" And then you're standing there and you might have your hand just out there so he can sniff on it or something like that, or even you might just walk back slightly just so he goes, "Oh, what are you doing?" And you just let him sort of breathe out and just connect with you a little bit. And if he starts to get over there, that, "Where are they going?" You sort of, whether it's popping a flag or something or stepping and drawing on that rope to spin him around and sort of get him to look at you, I try and distract him. The distraction's got to be bigger than the distraction that's worrying him. So, and in those cases, sometimes, people think, how do I quietly just stand there? Sometimes it's not enough just standing like a tree for you know, when the horse is really, really out there. So sometimes your distraction's got to be big enough to say, here, come back to me now. And it's not please, it's now. Please is more of like, can be more of an annoyance, especially if you know, are you over here? That can be just more of an annoyance, it worries them more. So in a situation like that, it's like, I need you now. And then as soon as his thoughts come around and go, what was that? You're standing there dead calm, like a tree, happy as a cucumber, no problems in the world, or you're pretending that. And you're just saying in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, here I am. And they'll take that on board. So that's really all you can do in the crowd management or the ride control in the situation when he's at those rides and he really goes berserkers. You have to probably go out and help him because on his own he can't do it. And over time, I believe he'll start to know that you're around and he doesn't need to worry. I can't really go into all these, you know, other details of trying to figure out ways to, because I think just basically in those situations, he's obviously getting a lot better with you on rides and stuff like that, so it's all improving. But just, you know, if you're at a ride with him and he goes berserk, go out, reset him, stand with him, let him know that you're there, you're here. And maybe if you go back in your float and then he starts to go berserk, step out of your float again, say, I'm still here. Okay, and he'll start to know that you're around and you're there and he doesn't have to worry. And I think it'll be a building, you know, a lot of building blocks, but eventually you'll really get it. But basically the distraction's got to be bigger than the distraction. If he's trying to jump out of that fence, well, you know, as long as it's gone quickly, like to me, a distraction is like I said, like a strike of lightning or a branch breaking, it's that quick. You've distracted him, and before he even realised what the distraction was, you're standing there and he's looking at you going, oh, you're calm. Okay. People have seen me do it at clinics and how quick and effective it can be, opposed to the opposite, which is move their feet and move their feet and move their feet and get them distracted and get them thinking about something else. And that's like a long way around to help a horse. To me, it's like more painful for the horse than it is beneficial. Where are we going on our questions? We're going through okay. We've got a little bit more time to get a bit more done. So, Viv, you bought a new little horse. Congratulations. Another mouthing problem, bit problem. So if you've got a horse that has trouble letting go of the bit, it's obviously been clanged before. Now, this is what I said earlier to Megan, and I think I had that on my mind because I read your question previously about the clanging on the way out, or the horse doesn't want to be clanged. And that's where efficient bridling of a horse builds into trust bridling and things like that, and be more happy with it. So every now and again, you can get a bit, you know, something goes wrong, but they can cope with it because they've had so many good bridlings that it outweighs the bad bridlings. But if the bad bridlings outweigh the good bridlings, then the horse has obviously got a right to be a little bit like, hang on a minute, you know, this obedience is okay, but would you start to sharpen up a little bit? So with a horse that gets frightened or wants to pull away when you go to take the bit out, what I encourage is when you come up and you're going to take the bridle off, almost go through the sequence as if you were going to put a bridle on. So you're going to come up to your horse and the problem with these horses, it's always at the end of a lesson you take a bridle off and you're daydreaming. Like, I don't know how many times I've sort of had to hit myself in the head and go, why'd you do that, Mark? Of course, you weren't thinking. And it's always been at the end of a lesson when everything's gone good, you've just taken the saddle off, you unbridle your horse, clang the bit out of their mouth and then start a problem that you have to fix. Only because we were just not thinking at the time. And that's probably what's happened to that horse, that same thing. So when you take the bridle off, just gently lower your horse's head as if you were going to bridle it, and then just what you're going to do is possibly, if it's such a bad horse, it's such a bad problem to the horse, maybe, like I said with Megan, have a holder underneath your bridle and get it to lower its head in the bridle and things like that, get it comfortable with all that. And then take the... just fiddle with its ears a little bit, like, you know, as if you were getting it prepared to put a bridle on, and lower its head and just take the bridle over its ears and hold the bridle up, as in, so you keep the bit up like that and just hold it like that and just show it that you can hold it up, but you can take the bridle over its ears and put it back over again, over its ears and put it over, and don't lower it, don't do anything like that yet. Okay, so once the horse can relax and you can take it over its ears, and you can show that I'm going to hold the bit up, then you just let that happen and get the horse first relaxed at that transition quite a bit. And then what you can do is, it almost like, imagine you're going to bridle a horse. So I bridle a horse like this when the last bit of bridling, I've got this hand up over the pole and this thumb sticking in the mouth. Because I like to open my horse's mouth so they can open it wide, so I can gently pass the bit through, so they get used to that. Instead of them choosing to open it, me fiddle on their teeth with the bit until I open it, I like to stick my finger right in and get them to just open up quietly, and I just put it in and out until they're comfortable with that. And then, you know, later on you can sort of do whatever you like. But so I would actually get the bridle's already on the horse, so you're going to have it here. You've got it used to this, and you're holding that hand up to keep the bridle up in its mouth, or the bit up in its mouth. And then as you take that over like that, you just open its mouth like that, and I guess start to do that. And then you just gently do that, only a little bit, just to let the bit drop only a fraction, not to get to the front teeth, just a fraction, and up and down, and open its mouth, and just prove to yourself and the horse that you can drop the bit slightly in its mouth and pick it up, drop the bit slightly in its mouth, pick it up, and you can stick your finger in and just open it. And when that horse gets good at holding open like that, you just go further each time, just like that, like, and then put it back over its ears again, and just keep winging it down, just saying, I can open your mouth, I'm not going to clang it, I'm not going to pull it off and walk away, I'm just going to just put the bridle out, I'm going to take the bridle off almost like I was putting the bridle on, just gently down, and yeah, just teach your horse to just hold its mouth open, and then gently you can say, look, see, I can get it past your teeth without a palaver, and the horse will go, oh, geez, thanks for that. Maybe I'll take it, you know, and as I say, we become helpful to the horses in the way we operate, and the horses will start to go, oh, that's not so bad. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a wild hit, but I think if you work on it, you know, you'll start to be able to get that horse to just accept it. You know, it doesn't, you know, if I do it, it only takes a few seconds. I can just get a horse and then just open them and then just gently just drop it down. But get all the other things like the head lowering and all those brace out of your horse's head before you sort of get to sort of trying to take the bridle off and pass that bit through its mouth. So, but yeah, hopefully I'll see you again, Viv, and help you a bit more on it. But I think if you work on that for a while, you should be okay. Yeah, but anyway, that's all the questions we've got tonight. I've been organised. I got through them. But most of these, the questions that we've gone, like with Tracy and Karen, especially that connection and knowing those horses can connect and feel good with us. It's going to be a big thing. So, yeah. So anyway, everybody, thanks for logging on tonight, and just let us know via our members' Facebook, you know, down the track if this the 2 half-an-hour sessions work better for you guys or not. As I say, we're just trying to sort of make things a bit, you know, make it easy for people and more user friendly. So yeah, just let us know. But thanks tonight for logging on, and I guess I'll see you in a couple of weeks instead of a month. So yeah, good, eh? See you later.